keep getting your information from this Yahoo. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Guilty as charged. Coming to you from the Kurt Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And I've been hiding something from you for the last couple of hours. Something I wasn't going to talk about, but now I understand it might be a relevant topic given my first guest this hour. Let me welcome to the show. I don't have his play on music, but here's what I learned on Friday. That, you know, if you give somebody heroin every day and then you withhold it from them, well, then they go into withdrawals. And every Friday for the last couple of months, I've been giving you, my lovely listeners, John Curley. And then on Friday, John withheld himself from you. And I started getting all these text messages. Where's John? Where's Curley? Thought you'd Curley on Fridays. So we've moved it to a very special Monday edition of John Curley. Hello, John.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
What? That's my best intro ever. So here's what's going on.
Hi. Why, good night, everybody.
Why were you?
That's my favorite candidate. Yeah, I know, you're John Fetter. Oprah told me to vote for that guy.
You're John Fetter woman. I get it. So why you weren't able to be on Friday?
I blame Nicole. Nicole.
I never encouraged this behavior for either one of you. I absolutely did not. You have a couple Nicoles in your life. I absolutely believe it's the other one.
I blame the one I'm hearing in my head. Mm-hmm. I think you told me to get a flu shot.
Oh,
I got a flu
no.
shot. Sick for 2 days. And I cursed you with my mild fever.
It was not.
So you were so sick. You were so sick you couldn't do your show either Thursday or Friday, as I understand it.
No, Thursday I was flying to Chesapeake Bay.
But he still could
Friday,
not have done it.
I was sick. And then Friday sick, and then Saturday morning sick. I rallied hard to do that auction, but I was blaming Nicole the whole time. No, I told you to get the COVID shot.
No booster. Just the original one. I said, we need this at the time.
Nicole calls me this morning. Oh, my God. Dory is so – something's wrong with Dory. Something's wrong with Dory. And then she calls me back half hour later. Oh, now I know what the problem is.
On Thursday night, I went to pick up a little prescription at the pharmacy. It's like 8 o'clock at night. And there was nobody there. And I said, hey, do you guys do flu shots? Because I usually at Bonneville, Seattle, they do flu shots. I usually do one every year. I don't have the same trepidation about flu shot that I have about COVID boosters, which I'm not going to get any more of. But I wasn't there for the flu shot at the station. And so I'm down at the pharmacy picking up something. And I said, oh, you guys do flu shots. What's the wait time? Because my wife got one, but she had to book it like a month out. And he goes, oh, I can do it right now if you want. Yeah, jab me. Let's do it.
And this is right after I said John is sick from the flu shot.
Yeah, but I figured it was.
Yeah, just Curley.
Personal weakness.
Do you know what I'm sharing? Uh-huh. Here's Nicole's theory. Ready, what? Dory?
Yes.
You are so competitive that when you heard that I got the flu shot and I got sick, you thought to yourself, I got an immune system. I'll put my immune system up against Curley's any day. Yeah, hey, give me a shot. Go ahead. Give me two.
So this morning, Nicole said, well, can you do the show? And I said, if this wasn't pre-election, there's no way I would do the show today, which is unusual for me because I never take sick days. But she said, well, we'll get Curley on at 2 o'clock, and that'll help you fill the hour. So that's what you're here for, John.
There are days, Dory, there are days that you should have called in sick. Because Nicole will call me up, oh, my God, Dory has not slept. He's been up all night. He's been texting me. Sending me
and vice versa.
In the morning. I tell him,
it's both of you. Both of you do the show sometimes when you're probably not in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the drive, and that's what I'm here for.
I don't want to miss. But Dory knows there's a sense of obligation. The listeners, it's an appointment. It's part of their life. They tune in. They get Dory. You don't want to not be there for them.
Well, so here's, you just, yeah. you, I can suck it up for 3 hours from noon to three. And I just figure, and again, this is just my insane ego, but I figure me at 70%. I'm not going to finish that line. Okay, so let's move on to other topics. But anyway, so I've never had a reaction to the flu shot, and now today I'm sicker than a dog. That's the bottom line. And I haven't mentioned it until just now, but Nicole said you could commiserate with me. So there you have it.
But John, all of a sudden felt better the next day. I think that you'll be good to go for tomorrow.
No, I'll be fine tomorrow.
I'll tell you something, Dory. Even if I had like a dysentery, a classic disease from the Civil War, I am so excited about what I believe will happen in the next 48 hours that I would be getting up out of my deathbed, moving over to my sick bed, and then doing the show.
You see, I feel the same way. I mean, even if I had the grip, I still, too. I was trying to think of anything comparable to dysentery there. I, too, would do the show tomorrow and today no matter what. A couple of things. First of all, have you heard about this bizarre Tina Podlodowski thing?
Yes. It's a little bit of reverse psychology. I understand Tina was on your show earlier. I'm sure you're going to have that as one of your awesome audio drops when all of a sudden, somehow mysteriously, she was unable to hear you.
Yeah, so she and Jay Inslee, they made this hostage video this weekend because apparently it's all about the Secretary of State race. So Inslee and Tina Podlodowski's chosen candidate is Steve Hobbs. There's an independent named Julie Anderson. And then there's a write-in Republican guy named Brad Klippert. Well, Brad Klippert doesn't have a chance. I agree with him ideologically more than any of the three, but he doesn't have a chance because write-ins don't have a chance. And so then I see this video that Podlodowski and Inslee made where they are reading a script and talking about how horrible Brad Klippert is. And you can tell that it's like you just said, John, it's reverse psychology. If they tell my listeners who hate Tina Podlodowski and Jay Inslee in their minds, if they tell them how horrible Brad Klippert is, well, then they'll all vote for Brad Klippert. And then the weaker candidate on the ballot has no chance. And it was just such a bizarre, twisted way to try to win this election. It's really sad and sick that this is where Inslee and Podlodowski are.
Well, you know that, and listeners may or may not know this, that often you'll say on the air, I want to hear, she's more than welcome to come on, and then Nicole will come on and say, well, I've tried three times, they haven't returned the call. So it's really unusual that they're calling you up. There's got to be something wrong. So, yes, this is an opportunity for them. Here's the really interesting sort of, this is behind the scenes. Anybody care about it? Take about 30 seconds away. Hobbs voted against Inslee on a couple of different things, stuff that he needed to get through. And Hobbs said no on some of the climate stuff and said no. So that when the position became open, he put Hobbs in there basically to get him out of there, move him out so he was no longer obstructing Inslee from doing stuff. Put Hobbs in, move him into Secretary of State and keep him over there and have him that position. There's some sort of push to get this write-in candidate in there to only to weaken and split the vote. But yeah, why are they going on your show?
Yeah.
Come on.
And it's not three times. We've probably tried 20 times over the years to get Podlodowski. And now she approaches us. And I don't know if she thought that I was stupid enough to fall for this nonsense of the video she made with Inslee. And in case people are just joining us, let me share with you. So here's a little bit of the video that Jay Inslee and Tina Podlodowski made to tell you how horrible Brad Klippert is.
Brad Klippert is one of the worst peddlers of this election disinformation in Washington State. So whatever you do, do not write in Brad Klippert.
He kept saying his name. So, you know, Jay Inslee's thinking, okay, Dory's listeners hate me. So if I say do not vote for Brad Klippert, they'll all vote for Brad Klippert.
That's right. Brad Klippert has peddled conspiracy theories about how Trump won the 2020 election. And Brad Klippert.
And then Tina Podlodowski says how horrible Brad Klippert is. Dory's listeners hate me, so now they'll vote for Brad Klippert. And I don't know if they thought I was that stupid. I don't know if they thought our listeners were that stupid. But then after we called Tina out, and if you want to hear just the very end of it, So then she pretends, because I started asking her about this this Clyde Shavers guy who's running for state house as a Democrat. His dad says that he's just a serial liar, that he said he was a Navy submarine officer and all this other nonsense that wasn't true. So I tried to ask about him, and then Tina Podlatowski suddenly cannot hear it. We were both by phone for this.
Tina, while we have you on the line,
I've got to get back on the road, Dory. I'm so sorry. He lied completely
about his credentials and his background. Does your party still support Clyde Shavers?
You know, I think that Clyde has cleared up where there has been misrepresentations for it. What I don't think we have is somebody. What I don't think we have, though, is somebody who is honest and Brad Clippert in Secretary of State lying about election results. And that's why it's so important for folks to be able to do this work and make certain. Sorry.
So right there, I think she had a staffer call the line so that the, you know, the little interrupt would happen, because she heard every word I said up till then, including about Clyde Shavers. And then she says he misrepresented. Well, no, he lied that he was a Navy submarine officer. And so I was going to nail her on that. And then suddenly.
Represented about Clyde Shavers.
Sorry.
Just tell me what was misrepresented about Clyde Shavers.
Hello.
Can you hear me, Tina?
Then she pretends like she cannot hear me anymore. John, it was one of the most pathetic political stunts I've ever seen.
This is the same person that read from the script. By the way, I'm reading Cascadia Advocate. It's a progressive liberal website. Brad, a write-in candidate, said could give Steve Hobbs the edge over Julie Anderson for Secretary of State. And it basically explains that the write-in, everybody needs to write it in because Julie Anderson could win. So this is from, October 21st, 2022. Yep. So yeah, they already talked about this write-in thing. So, I mean, it is just, you know, it's the most insulting thing. I mean, so much of it is insulting, but such little regard they have for the intellect of the average American voter. I mean, between the lies of democracy is going to be stolen or they're going to take abortion away from you. I mean, all this, it just speaks to the fact that they think you're a moron, that they really believe that you're dumb and that they're there to help guide you. They think of you like a child, worse than a child. They don't respect you.
To reach out to me. And then, as I said, apparently she reached out to other hosts who are perceived as being right of center. And then after I did that to her, she canceled every interview after me, because that's when she realized, the jig might be up. They might have figured out that there's all a game we're playing here. Oh, man. I mean, if you ever needed another reason to hate politics, this is right at the top of the list there. Man.
Well, just think about, just for a moment, that often they say if anybody runs for, wants to be president of the United States, they should have their head examined, right? Because it says something about you as an individual. Think of all the people in the country, of everybody. I think I could be president of the United States. I could be president. And then for someone like Jay Inslee, what the hell was he thinking? Did he really think that he could be president of the United States? I mean, what's going on in your head to think, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I have just what it takes to run this country.
Right. Well, and it's because they're all surrounded by you know, all of these bobbing head dolls who tell them how great they are from the second they wake up until the second they go to bed. You're great, Jay. You're great. Oh, Jay, that was brilliant. That was fantastic. And they get this sense of delusion and of grandeur. And so, you know, and we're seeing this, like for example, this pathological liar, Clyde Shavers, whose dad says he lied about almost everything in his campaign literature. But they have spent $1 million for a state house race. Mostly the Democrats have spent it because power is everything. And they're afraid that they're going to lose the state house to the Republicans. And I hope they do. And nobody should vote for Clyde Shavers, by the way. But yes, they just get delusional because of all of the yes men that they have around them every second of the day. It's crazy. Well, so what do you think is going to happen tomorrow? What are you expecting tomorrow?
I don't think we're going to get a lot of results from a lot of these states for a little while. And it's sort of sad. I think turnout's going to be record high. They think that this is the greatest turnout in a midterm in, I think this will be the historic turnout for us. I believe we take hopefully 20. I'd like to see 23 seats in the House. I'd love to see, I think we get two Senates. I'd love to get four. But then the problem is, we're basically handed a ticking time bomb. I was talking to a banker. I talk about this on my show. I talked to a banker over the weekend who is works with the Fed, and he explained to me that we have some very, very dark, dark months ahead of us. When this recession hits, we're in a lot of trouble. And he also pointed to the fact that credit card rate is the highest it's been since I can't remember the years, but people are completely maxed out on their credit cards. So you're going to have recession, layoffs, credit card default, plus the government will not be able to stimulate to get out of the recession because it can't borrow more because it's actually raising interest rates, which throws the bond off. Very similar to happened in the UK. He goes, so basically, congratulations, Republicans. Here's the House. Here's the Senate. And now the economy just takes a dump.
Yeah.
And I think that will be the sad part. But hopefully we get a chance to start to see people move back to the middle. Joe Biden ran as a centrist, and then, of course, the left took over. So we'll push the country back into the center where most Americans are.
Well, I hope you're right. I agree with your friend's analysis of all of this. I think that we are headed for some really ugly economic times. And the extra challenge that I've been talking about is for everybody about 32, 33 and younger, they've never had tough economic times. They don't remember the real estate crash of 08, 09. It's been really easy to get jobs out of college or for people with trade degrees or trade training the last 15 years. And so you're going to have a generation of people who have never seen any kind of professional economic adversity. Suddenly, they're going to get a dose of reality, and I'm really nervous. I'm really worried about what this is going to mean for individuals. And I agree with you, too, that we've got a lot of people who are paying their monthly bills on a credit card right now. And if you can't meet your monthly bills, wait until you see what they're like with 15, 16% interest that the credit card companies add to it.
Some very dark days ahead, and the only move, the only button that the government can push is to reduce spending, and which the media will have a heyday on, and so will the Democrats, because they believe bigger government is always the answer. So it'll be, when Trump won in 2016, I turned to my kids, 11:30 tonight, I think when they took Minnesota, I turned to them, I said, guys, what you're watching here is historic. Let's quick turn over to MSNBC and watch them all cry. And I hate that schadenfreude in me, but I just couldn't wait to see these people face the fact that you're so completely out of touch with the American people. These folks in New York and California coming from prestigious universities and, you know, drinking the woke Kool-Aid. They don't know. They don't know how angry people are. And they're going to take it out on a variety of things. The COVID, the lockdown, the schools, the CRT, the trans crap, everything. People will have their say tomorrow.
Yes, they will. All right. You can hear John Curley every afternoon, 3 to 7, here on 97.3 Cairo News Radio. Thanks for jumping
in. Hope
you
feel better, Dory.
You do, John.
Feel better.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow, I'm sure. All right. John Curley, join us. And then, stick around for John and Sherry, 3 to 7 every afternoon. Okay, quick timeout, and then we've got a lot more stuff to analyze here. Straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Wow. Things are getting crazy nationally. I think they're going to be crazier nationally than they are here in Seattle or King County or Washington State. But here's what we are seeing. First of all, Joe Biden, the reason gas prices have doubled since he became president is because on the first day of his presidency, he said no more drilling, no more fracking. He was going to go to war with the fossil fuel industry. And now, as the election draws near and people are paying $5-6 a gallon for gas, still up over $5 a gallon most of the places around here, Joe Biden, he's so uncoachable because his brain's just not working right that he is still talking about that he's shutting down drilling, and he doesn't realize you can't say this right before an election.
No more drilling. There is no more drilling. I haven't formed any new drilling. No, that was before I was president. We're trying to work on that, get that done.
Okay, but he says no drilling, no more drilling. So his spokeswoman, Corinne Jean-Pierre, she was asked, and she said, oh, no, there's no correlation between that and high gas prices. I mean, this is just nuts.
No more drilling.
No, here she is.
No more drilling for oil. But does he see that as being in conflict with his efforts to lower gas prices?
So, no, we don't see that in conflict.
Okay, she says, no, shutting down drilling is not a conflict. And then Joe Biden also said, oh, yeah, and I'm going to shut down coal plants, too.
And all they're doing is you're going to save them a hell of a lot of money and using the same transmission line that transmitted the coal-fired electric on. We're going to be shutting these plants down all across America and having wind and solar.
Okay, but it's not working fast enough. We're not going to have wind and solar by 2035, which is the artificial deadline that they have imposed. And so then his spokesman was asked, how can you cover for him? When he clearly said he's going to shut down coal plants, he's going to shut down drilling, he is going after all traditional energy.
Remarks from the day prior, can you walk through what the genesis of that was and whether or not you guys thought that perhaps it would be politically problematic had those statements been allowed to stand?
So we just wanted to be, you're talking about the coal plants. So we just wanted to be very clear on that, which is why we put out a statement. It seemed like there was some confusion on that. And so, I want to say this.
She cannot find her way. She's flipping through her booklet, her binders of notes, and she cannot find what she needs to find to explain what Joe said about getting rid of coal plants, which, by the way, would devastate West Virginia and Pennsylvania and coal mining states like those.
Some of you were there. It was loud and hard to hear, I think, or maybe not exactly what was being said. But I.
She even at one point, you can tell her soul is trying to escape. I mean, at one point, ah, she actually has a visible exhale. Because she doesn't even believe the nonsense that she's trying to peddle to the White House press corps here.
Some of you were there. It was loud and hard to hear, I think, or maybe not exactly what was being said.
That was her soul leaving her body. I know it was loud to hear, and that's what it sounds like when your soul actually takes flight.
There, it was loud and hard to hear, I think, or maybe not exactly what was being said. But I currently don't want to get into punditry from here and why we did it or do it.
In other words, I cannot contradict what Joe says, but what Joe said is really stupid, and we all recognize it. There you go. Then you have Bill Clinton. Here's one little, I don't know if it's a prediction, but the guy who was alone one-on-one with Paul Pelosi for a half hour before police were called to the Pelosi mansion a week ago Friday. I wonder if they're going to Jeffrey Epstein, this guy. Remember when Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in jail? I wonder if this David DePape is going to commit suicide. I wonder if they're going to get rid of him, because he could contradict a lot of the storylines that Paul Pelosi and Nancy and the Democrats have, and the media, for that example, have been pushing out there. Here's Bill Clinton today being asked about Jeffrey Epstein. Does he think that that sort of thing is funny?
Mr. Clinton, any comments on the alleged allegation of your connection with Jeffrey Epstein?
I think the evidence is
So they asked Clinton about Jeffrey Epstein. Clinton just laughed and walked away.
He said the evidence speaks for itself.
Yeah.
I don't know what that evidence is.
I'm serious, though. Yeah, I mean, Clinton went to on the Lolita Express many times. He went to the private island many times. I wonder if David DePape is going to commit suicide, wink, wink, in the next few days while this Pelosi investigation is ongoing. And then at least Bill Clinton doesn't make fun of rising violent crime.
Lee Selson, he makes it sound like Kathy Hochul gets up every morning, goes to the nearest subway stop, and hands out billy clubs and baseball bats to everybody who gets on the subway. Looks like he's auditioning to replace Dwayne Johnson in all those movies.
Oh, no, he didn't. How about the laughter from that one person when he says that the governor of New York is passing out billy clubs and baseball bats? Boy, one person was really tickled by that.
Clubs and baseball bats. So everybody gets on
that
the
one right there. It's like nobody else was laughing hard enough. There's like at auctions that Curly does. If they don't get a bid, then they have somebody raises the paddle to jack up the bidding. That's what was happening here. There's a woman in the audience, and she looks around. Baseball bats, billy clubs, nobody's laughing. She's raising the paddle here.
And baseball bats, so everybody gets on the subway.
Oh, man, it is so transparent. It is so pathetic. And I don't know if it's going to come to an end with tomorrow's vote. We're not going to get a total vote count for several days, maybe a couple of weeks. Who knows? And then when you see the absolute desperation that the Democrats have been giving off for the last several weeks and months, when they lose the House and the Senate, can you imagine the level to which desperation will rise for them? It's going to get uglier before it gets better in America. Of that, you can be certain. All right, quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down to the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we are not done. This is the time we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Let's start with this one here. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney of New York. He says that if you're complaining about the high price of food in the grocery store, I just bought some pasta a couple nights ago. The high price of pasta, it's more than doubled in my grocery store since a year ago. But according to the representative, Sean Patrick, the only solution to inflation problems like that is this.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a family where, you know, if the gas price went up, the food budget went down. So by this time of the week, we'd be eating Chef Boyardee if that budget wasn't going to change, right? So that's what families have to do.
Yeah. But this is not how politicians usually operate. So he just says, eat Chef Boyardee, sell that fancy packaged pasta, and you'll get by just fine. It's amazing how out of touch they are. Jimmy Kimmel, he was talking about his late night show audience. And as you know, if you're a longtime listener to this show, I thought Jimmy Kimmel was the best when it was Kimmel and Leno and then Letterman giving way to, Colbert. But Jimmy Kimmel says he really started losing his audience when he would nightly make fun of Donald Trump as president.
But I'm not going to do that. So, you know, if you want somebody else to host the show, then that's fine. That's okay with me. I'm just not going to do it like that. So that was like kind of hinted at, but yeah. I said, listen, I get it. I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, you're right. I have lost half of my fan, maybe more than that. I mean, when 10 years ago, among like Republicans, I was the most popular talk show host, you know. I mean, you know, this, at least according to the research that they did. I love this country too. I mean, you know, that flag doesn't belong to them.
That's right.
This is ours. And when I see somebody coming in and ruining it, I'm going to say something about it.
Okay, but here's the difference. You're supposed to be getting the broadest audience possible. And when you eliminate half of your audience before you get into any interviews, it kills you. Now, radio's a little more niche. We have the highest rated local news talk show in the country. But we've done it by attracting everybody. People who agree with us, people who don't disagree. Men, women, we get it all. So Donald Trump heard Kimmel admit that hating Trump was killing Kimmel's ratings. Do you think we're going to get a sympathetic response?
And then I said, well, that's not the reason. They refuse to show the size of our crowds, and I don't understand why. And it's actually good for them. I was very good at getting good television ratings. By the way, I still am. Did you see where all these people that don't like us, they're dying? I saw Jimmy Kimmel said that his show's practically dead because nobody that likes Trump will watch. And guess what? That turned out to be a majority of the people. The show is dead, and so are the other ones.
The other ones, which are far left as well. And anybody who's right of center, like Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller can't get a regular gig. He was on HBO. Norm MacDonald was right of center. He was on Cairo 7 doing his weekly stuff. But nobody wants to watch somebody that they, on a nightly basis, that they have such fundamental disagreements with. And then you have Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, who has decided to go all politically correct on women. Well, women who have a period.
Bipartisan tax cut will help reduce the economic burden of the cost of menstrual products, especially for lower income Michiganders. Saving people with a period from paying taxes on up to $4,800 in spending over the course of their lifetime.
But she makes a point of saying women's menstrual products and period with a, or persons with a period. She can't say women anymore. Because that would be hateful, be transphobic, to say that only women get periods. And therefore, only women need menstrual products. That's not allowed anymore. Okay, so why is that happening? I hope you join us tomorrow, because I'm going to tell you about how kids being taught at the earliest age that lies are truth is doing as much as anything to destroy our kids and their faith in the media and politics and everything else. Got a big blockbuster topic for you tomorrow on that. Hope you can join us. All right, the John Kiley and Sherry Ellicker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon!
He's an animal. He belongs in the wild or in the circus on one of those tiny tricycles.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a fantastic audience.